In case I haven't said it, Merry Christmas to you. It is great to have this Christmas service on Christmas Day. And once every 7 years, that's the case. Our topic today is peace. We've been talking through the gifts that God gives at Christmas. And I should say the gifts that Christ brings us. What he brought us when he came to this earth to become a baby. Last night, many of you told me how much you enjoyed the Christmas Eve message last night. I appreciate that. It was so powerful to think about the God of the universe, the God who created everything. Nothing that was ever made was not made without the one who was born a baby in Bethlehem. Think about that. Think about the universe. I shared last night that Hubble's discovered 2 trillion galaxies. And there's not a galaxy that wasn't made by Jesus Christ, that baby born in Bethlehem. What a powerful truth. That's amazing, amazing thought, far beyond our comprehension. I think that's why God made it so easy to as many as believed in him, who he was, and to as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. That's an amazing, simple truth, isn't it? So simple, yet so hard to the minds of many, because it is so simple, but it certainly isn't simple when you think about who Jesus Christ is. Today we're talking about peace. In the previous weeks, we've talked about the little candle was lit the first Sunday back in December and symbolized hope, and how that when Jesus Christ came into the world, hope of eternal life, hope of one day this world being transformed completely. And we're going to think about this today. But one day, believe it or not, there is going to be peace on this earth. Can you imagine that? That's hard to even fathom, isn't it? But Jesus Christ brings hope. The hope that no one can take from us. Next, we learned the beautiful truth. I love that message. On Christmas, God gave us a gift of his love. His love. Think about, the Bible talks about, Paul talks about the immeasurable love of Christ. What is the height, the depth, the width? And it surpasses, transcends all this universe. The love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I got some slides up there. Love. For God so loved the world. And then think about this one. Nothing can separate us as believers in Jesus Christ. Think about this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as your Lord and your Savior, when you've come to recognize and turn from your life of sin and turn to him as your Lord, nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And so, secondly, we lit the candle that God gave us the gift of love. Last week, we lit the candle of joy. Think about this, the angel's message to the shepherds. I bring you, actually it's good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. There's no greater joy, joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Wouldn't it be something? And won't it be something when earth does receive her king? He is and the message of great joy. And if this world ever needed anything, it needs joy. Amen. Think about it. This world is so stressful. This world is so materialistic that true joy is missing. But last week, Pastor Aaron brought the message on the joy of knowing Christ. Today we're going to light the candle of peace. 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 Boy, I needed peace about 10 minutes ago. The good news is I can't find my message. That's good news for you, by the way. It'll be much shorter without on words. It's got to come from right here and right here now. Amen. Peace. Amen. That's right. I tell you, I love it when that happens because I've done it so many times. It's okay. Peace. Peace. But seriously, think about the message. Glory to God in the highest, the angels recited or sang, and on earth, peace, goodwill to all men. Peace, goodwill to mankind. Peace. When Jesus Christ came, he gave this world a peace that it doesn't have. And we're going to talk about that peace this morning. Peace. Let's bow for prayer. God, I'm totally dependent upon your Holy Spirit, bringing to my memory the content, some of the exact phrases, because they were so powerful. Peace. You want mankind to be at peace with you and at peace within themselves and peace with all man on this earth. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Please fill me, Spirit of God. Take over, control me, and speak through us today, this very important Christmas morning, where we've met to celebrate and honor you and celebrate your birth. Thank you, O Son of God, for your great glory and your great person, far beyond our comprehension. Thank you for making it simple so a child could understand and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Pray if there isn't anyone here that needs you, Christ, that you'd speak to them. In your name I pray. Amen. Peace. Certainly you realize that the last thing that this world has today is peace. Think about the news the last couple weeks with Aleppo. Horrible, horrible crimes. Evil of hearts of humanity against humanity. I think it's Isaiah that wrote, "There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked." The wicked are like the troubled sea that churn up mire. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. There is no peace to that heart that's separated from God. Peace. The other night, you talk about the craziness and the wrongness of Christmas and what we've done to Christmas. I happened to get up to Giant Eagle, I think it was Friday night, and I had to pull into the Giant Eagle parking lot for something. And the cars were lined up. I mean, there was not an easy way to get in or out of Giant Eagle. The cars were lined up forever, it seemed. And it took me 15 minutes to go from Giant Eagle over to the Texas Roadhouse. 15 minutes. cars. I can't imagine what the mall's like. I've been to the mall close to Christmas. They're lined up clean out on I-99. People, Christmas, if anything, is far from peaceful. And there's always a reality in this. We never know. Of course, we're right now, aren't we? We're right now, it seems like, in a good economy, right? Do you remember, though, that there's been good economies before? And you never know. You never know when a pink slip may be coming to you. We don't know what the future holds. Peace, though. How we can have peace when it does. Let's look at this and see what three areas that are beautiful. Symbols of peace, of course, throughout history. This one came in the nuclear disaster phrase of period in 19, I believe it was in the 50s. It stood for no nukes. It later was symbolized by the hippie movement and in the Vietnam War. And then there's this one, peace. By the way, do you know where this one originated? It was in Britain in World War II. And Winston Churchill used it. There was somebody before that, but Winston Churchill used it in World War II in London and victory in World War II. And then this one, the dove with the symbol of the olive branch, referring all the way back to the Bible, when God judged the earth, and Noah then sent out the dove, remember? And the dove came back with the olive branch, meaning that there was dry ground out there, and that God now would never flood, and there was peace. But peace is always talked about in the midst of turmoil. Peace is always talked about and needed in the midst of pain and suffering. Peace. There's peace with God. And turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I believe that you will be blessed by this message. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I think the most important peace that God offered us when Christ came into this world was peace with Him, peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But notice it says, therefore, being justified by faith. The word justified meaning to be declared innocent. You go into a court and you are declared not guilty, you are justified. You are free of any guilt of that crime. When Christ died on the cross, He paid for your sins. And I know you know that here. But do you know it here? Do you know Him as your Savior and as your Lord? He died and He made peace. He was the one, it's all right, He made peace between you and the Father. Now, something to realize, why would we need peace with God? And the answer is because you were His enemy. You were His enemy. In Colossians, if you'd turn there with me, in the book of Colossians, and without my notes, it may take me a second to find that verse, but I believe it's Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Start there with me, Colossians 1:19. For in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Look at that. How did God make peace with you, with mankind? by the blood, by war, by blood. The blood that he shed on the cross is what brings you peace with God. Now look at verse 21. And you who were once alienated and hostile in your mind. That word hostile is the word enemy. You who were alienated and an enemy in your mind doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Look at this. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Think about that. Very, very, very clear. God made peace with mankind who were enemies in our minds. Now, you know what an enemy is? Do you understand what an enemy is in war? Do you understand what you do to your enemies in war? You kill them. You fight against them. And there was a time when you, by the way you think and by the way you live, were an enemy with God. But Jesus Christ came into this world to bring reconciliation, to bring peace with him through his blood, through the cross. And what does he do through that offering on the cross? What does he do? He declares you blameless. He declares you without any accusation before him. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, you know how bad you are, and I know you're not all real bad. But in our minds and in our hearts, we still sin. We still rebel against God. But in the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the mercy of God, he declares you justified, innocent, without blame. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's a miracle. That's a miracle that he would love a sinner such as me and declare me in his grace through the offering of his only son, Jesus Christ, peace with him. Reconciled to my heavenly Father, who I was once an enemy of. There's a saying, a bumper sticker, and you've seen it: no God, no peace. No God and no peace. If you know Jesus Christ, and you know, then you know the Father through him. You know peace with him. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the story, it's a true story in World War I, of the Christmas truce. It was December the 24th, Christmas Eve, 1914 in World War I. Have you ever studied World War I? World War I was a horrible, horrible war. And when I say they're all horrible, but World War I, you remember they battled from trenches and then cavalry charges with horses? It was the first war where machine guns were a modern weapon. It was the first war where airplanes were dropping bombs and mustard gas. Think about that. It was the first war of armored vehicles, such as tanks. You should study it. But it was the Germans against the European allies, France and England, the Allied armies of Europe versus the Germans. And the Germans were on one side of the battlefield in trenches. This was an awful place. But they were in trenches, lined up for miles and miles of trenches, Germans. And on the other side of that battlefield were the miles and miles of trenches of the European Allied troops, England and France, and I'm not sure who else was there. There was so much disease, rats filled these trenches. More people died of disease than actually died in battle. Now, that I don't know that I can make that a historical fact, but a lot of people died in the trenches of disease. Influenza was common. The battlefield was in between was called what? Anybody know? That's right, no man's land. And in between the battlefield were barbed-wired fences, streams and streams of barbed-wire fences with bodies by the hundreds in no man's land, dead, frozen. Christmas Eve came 1914, and the Germans started singing. By the way, back then, Christianity was widespread in Europe. Not today, but it was back then. The Germans started singing the hymn Silent Night in their language. When the English and French troops heard them singing, they started singing in their language. And then a man got up out of the trenches with his hands like this. And of course, the troops immediately pulled their weapons to shoot. And somebody said, "Don't shoot, don't shoot." And then a German came out of their trench. And they came and met in the middle of no man's land. And this was a rendition of, Julie White will appreciate this, the Illustrated London News portrayed the Christmas truce. This was an artist rendering. But there were pictures. People couldn't believe that the Germans and the English met on that battlefield, exchanged gifts that they had, little things that they had, helmets, some of them. They played soccer. This is a true story. The days the guns fell silent, and they had a truce. Unfortunately, that truce didn't last. It only lasted Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And then the guns started firing again, and they went back to their trenches. Millions, millions of people died. But I want you to know there's a place where you can meet the God of the universe and be at peace. And that's at the cross of Jesus Christ. And believing in him, he is the Prince of Peace. This cross was erected in 1999 to celebrate the 85th anniversary of the Christmas truce. And it was a cross of all things. And of course, why did they come together? Because they both celebrated the birth of the one who would bring them peace. And they said each other, "We're not here because we want to be here. We're here because we're told to be here." But Christ brought us peace with God, a permanent and eternal peace. Not like the world gives, believe me. Peace with God. Secondly, peace within. Philippians chapter 4. Turn there with me if you would. Jesus Christ and God gave us peace within our hearts. And this is so important, believe me. I know we know it. I know we know the verses, and I know that we think we have it down. But let me say this. We can never get enough internal peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart. You know what I'm talking about, really? Think about the pain. Sometimes there's lack of peace in the family. There's a child or a family member. To think that you can have peace, you can have, and God gives you. Think of this. Let's read these verses, and I want you to think on this tremendous truth. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Now, I want you to maybe even circle that anything and put what you're anxious about in your life today. What are you anxious about in your life right now? What are you afraid that could happen? Maybe cancer. There's a lot of people that get a call from the doctor's office and they're told, we've just discovered cancer. And it's in your body. That's the time where you need peace. Or when a spouse, you find out that they are being unfaithful. I'm going to tell you something, that changes everything. It's so painful. And you tell me your problems. And I don't know what your anxiousness may, you may not have them yet, but I'm going to tell you something. You get older, you got some concerns of health. Maybe you're anxious about your finances. I see some that has some college debt. And college debt isn't, a couple grand anymore. Anxiousness. Maybe you've bought something and you're anxious about how you're going to be able to pay for it. And especially if you lose your job. Anxious. Here it says, be anxious for not one thing. Whatever it is you're anxious about. And by the way, I'm so glad to have Shirley Beckwith with us today. That's a real miracle that she's here. And I mean that. Shirley has been battling intense and immense pain. And she had surgery. And it didn't work. And the pain grew worse. And she had more surgery. And this time she's doing much better. But I'm saying to you, what are you anxious about? Paul writes, be anxious. Do not be anxious about one thing in the Greek. Not one thing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses. Here's a phrase, surpasses. It means it goes beyond all understanding. You don't understand what could happen. But the peace of God surpasses whatever it is that you're afraid of. It goes further than. It's able to calm the most troubled situation in your mind and in your heart. And the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Remember we talked about the love that surpasses. There's nothing in this world that can separate you from the love of God. There's a love, the love of God surpasses everything that you could ever experience. The love of God surpasses it. Here, the peace of God, the peace of God through Christ Jesus will guard your heart and your mind. And it surpasses all the understanding that your mind throws at you. What about this? What about this? What about this? Christ came that you can have peace up here and in here, no matter what your situation. Peace of God. That's a powerful truth. Peace within. And by the way, it's not a formula. A lot of people say, well, if you'll do this, instead of worrying, you'll pray and thank God for whatever it is, the trials you're in, and be thankful, and then peace will come. No, I want you to know Jesus Christ is your peace. It says in the same chapter, verse 5, before 6, the Lord is near. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is near. How near is Jesus Christ to you? He's right there with you. And that's why you can have peace. Christmas not only brings peace with God through the blood of his cross, but it brings us the peace of God in our hearts and minds. And I'm going to tell you something. There's not a person in here that doesn't have an area that happens in your life, something happens, and it could be something that you didn't cause, but it could be something you did cause. You know, when I cause myself problems, and I can cause myself problems. I can cause my own problems. I don't need somebody else to cause me problems. I cause my own problems. And then what happens? You feel guilty. You feel, I messed up, and oh God, I'm so sorry, right? And you can lose that peace of mind, and guilt can haunt you. You blew it. You blew it. You blew it. And guilt can haunt you over and over again. But I want you to know there's one with you that can forgive you if you'll turn to him. Jesus. That's who. Jesus can forgive you. And all you need to do is maybe go to that person or go to a situation that you're in and admit the wrong you've done and ask their forgiveness. We've all blown it. And we all cause ourselves regret. But don't live there. Live in the peace of God. Commit the issue to God, or commit whatever it is you're facing that's causing you anxiety. Commit it to God, and the Lord is with you, and he will forgive you. Peace with God. And then lastly, peace without. You've all heard this verse, right? For unto us, let's turn to Isaiah chapter, I believe it's 9, and let's look at this verse. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Who thinks that they can quote that verse for me? Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty, the Prince of Peace, right? Is that not who Jesus Christ is? The Prince of Peace. You all know that verse, right? How many of you know the next verse? Look at it, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, what? There'll be no end. He is the mighty God. He is one with the everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from this time forth and forever. 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 Can you imagine peace? No more wars. How many of you believe that there'll be a time when there'll be no war on earth? That's crazy. I mean, this week, what happened between the Russians and the United States? Increase their nukes as a deterrent. Okay. Everything. War, 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 power, power. Armies, better planes, better submarines, better tanks, better everything for war. And I want you to know, when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, there's going to be war. But it will be the war that will end all battles. And he will rule and reign on earth. Look at with me now to Isaiah chapter 2. This verse took on new meaning to me in this sermon. Isaiah chapter 2. And because of my brain, let's see. Verse 3. Well, better yet, let's start in verse 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Look at this. This is talking about Jesus Christ, shall judge. I like the New Living Translation says this. He shall mediate between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. You know, it's one thing to have peace within when all the world is going to hell in a handbasket, isn't it? But it's another thing when there'll be true peace. And Jesus Christ is going to mediate the true peace. And of course, we know that there's coming a false peace in the tribulation period, right? We know that. But there's coming a day when true peace will come to earth. Because who? The Prince of Peace, that the government's on his shoulders. And peace will rule and come on the earth. There are verses in Scripture that are crazy for us to think about right now. It says the lion will lay down with the lamb. Right? Children will play on poison snakes' holes. I guarantee you, you put a lion and a lamb together today, it's dinner. Christ, the Prince of Peace, is going to change everything. And so when it says the angel's message, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, upon whom his favor rests, whatever you want to translate it. I believe God offers you peace. Peace with him. You're his enemy, my friends, if you're without Christ. If you're living your life in your own life and in your own flesh and doing what you want to do and running your life, you're an enemy of God today. You need to repent and turn to Christ as your Lord. And accept the peace that God gives, where there's no condemnation, where you are blameless. Can you imagine being blameless before God? Think about, Doug just hung his head. I love Doug Woolmer. As honest as a man ever born. We all would hang our head, wouldn't we, if it were not for the grace of God in the peace with the blood of Christ. Have you accepted peace with God through the Prince of Peace? And do you have peace in your heart that controls your mind, no matter what you may face, because the Lord, Jesus, the Almighty God is with us. Peace of mind. And then lastly, peace in the world. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't the title Prince of Peace, and that God gives you peace this Christmas? Peace. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Fear not. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, as we close this series of messages on Advent, celebrating your coming and what you brought, hope. Boy, thank you for the hope of eternal life, the hope that one day this creation is going to be transformed. The curse will be taken away. The hope of peace. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I remember when I had no hope, when I had no knowledge of you and was living so aimlessly, so hopelessly, surviving. Thank you for hope and purpose. And thank you for your love that transforms lives. Continue to change us by your love for us that will never lose us. And thank you, Lord, for the joy. That's what we really need. It seems like everyday life takes the joy right out of it. But thank you, Jesus, that you are a constant springing up well of joy if we will abide in you. Joy and then peace. Thank you, Christ. Thank you for these gifts, Father, in Christmas. Would you bless them to our hearts as we go to our homes and celebrate and worship you, Christ our King. In his name, your name we pray, Lord. Amen.